Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Of course, I'm not Pastor John. The Italian stallion is out of town. But he'll be here next week. In fact, next week he'll go through chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Colossians. But if you follow them on Facebook, you would have seen that they had the opportunity this week to go out to California to be at the Dream Center with Pastor Tommy Barnett, his son Matthew, Pastor Matthew Barnett as well, who runs that Dream Center. And it's an awesome, tremendous ministry that's impacting thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it's been a desire of theirs to be able to go. And they got invited to come out there. So that's where they've been toward the end of the week. But again, he'll be back next week. And he's going to go through Colossians chapters 3 and 4 next week. Today, we're going to go through Colossians chapter 2. We're going to do very similar to what Pastor John did last week, basically go through all the most of the verses there. And we'll get that in a minute and get to that in just a minute. I hope you've been able to be here as a part of the summer spiritual growth. And just always remember that you have the opportunity to get caught up. If by chance you're gone, you have the freedom to, or the ability to, you can watch it online because we're live streaming now. In fact, if you joined us live streaming on web, we're so glad that you've joined us and participating in the service. I think it was last Sunday. I don't remember the exact number, but I know it was around 150 or more people joined us online actually last week during a part of the live streaming. So if that works out for you and you're gone, you can do that. If not, you can always get caught up. By going to the website, you can watch the services after the fact. The videos are posted up there, or you can download the audio onto any kind of device that you want to listen to it, and you can get caught up that way. Because as Pastor John said at the beginning of the summer, the objective here is this is a summer of spiritual growth. And I just remember him talking about it months and months ago about the objective here was to really help us all grow spiritually, to mature in our walk with God spiritually. So I encourage you to stay connected with what he's been relaying and what's being relayed throughout the remainder of the summer. Even though summer is going quickly, there's a lot of great things going on in the fall as well, a lot of good things. And as Pastor John has already begun to say, his anticipation is that you'll have a fall of spiritual growth as well, right? Okay, so I encourage you to stay connected with what God's doing and the messages there. So again, if you miss, obviously there's travel, there's all kinds of things that take place. But I encourage you to get caught up, really, especially if you missed the first few messages where Pastor John talked about your devotional life or your quiet time. People call it different things, your relationship with God along those lines. We're going to touch on that some today, but I encourage you to really make sure you go back and get caught up with those if you missed those. All right. So again, we're going to go through Colossians chapter 2. And since Pastor John didn't give you a few little quick facts, I'm going to give you a few quick facts about the book of Colossians. And they're going to be quick. It's just some highlights. You'll see them on the screen behind me here about the book itself. And then we're going to dive off into chapter 2. All right? So Colossians chapter 2, just a quick things about Colossians, though. Colossae was a minor city, is a smaller city, about 100 miles east of Ephesus in the region of the seven churches that are referenced in the book of Revelation. The very beginning of the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, there's letters written to seven specific churches. Colossians is not one of them, but it's a city in that region. It's about 100 miles east of Ephesus. Paul is generally accepted to be the author. Obviously, it says in the book, this is Paul writing you, okay? So he's generally accepted to being the person that wrote it, even though it seems as though he never personally traveled there or went there. It was written roughly at 60 to 61 AD during his first Roman imprisonment. Colossians is perhaps one of the most Christ-centered books of the Bible. We'll talk about that here as we go through it. But the key theme of the book as a whole is the supremacy and the preeminence of Christ in all things. Two major topics: the supremacy of Christ, which is chapters 1 and 2, what Christ Jesus did for you, and the submission to Christ, what Christ does through us and in us. And so again, we're in chapters 1 and 2. Pastor John did chapter 1 last week. And again, we're going to talk about chapter 2. And it continues with that theme, but maybe even more so than what it did in chapter 1, about just the preeminence of Christ, the supremacy of Christ. And it's summarized really in the first couple of verses here. So let's read Colossians chapter 2, 1 through 4. It says, "I want you to know how hard I work for you, for the people of Laodicea, and for the people I have never met. Because they are united in love, I work so that they may be encouraged by all the riches that come from a complete understanding of Christ. He is the mystery of God. God has hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. I say this so that no one will mislead you with arguments that merely sound good. That really does encapsulate really what's expanded upon throughout the rest of the chapter. And that is Jesus Christ is preeminent in everything. He's above all things. He's in all things. It's through all things, etc. And don't let anything pull you away from the fact that Jesus is all in all. He is supreme and he is preeminent in all things. You don't need anything else. There's no works or no religious duty. There's nothing you can do to change that picture. You can't make yourself more holy. You can't make yourself these things. Jesus did all that for you. And again, that's going to be expounded upon. We'll talk about it here as we go through chapter 2. But it's important to see a couple of things just from this section of scripture. It talks about and refers to us having an understanding of Jesus and that he is the mystery of God. The mystery of God. What we need to understand is that when God laid out the plan of redemption, it is actually something that was hidden. It was hidden since time began, it's referred to in Scripture, more places than just here. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3, 3 through 6, it's expanded upon a little bit more. Believe it or not, you are a part of that mystery. Amen. That mystery is Gentiles can be saved, which in the Bible context, a Gentile was somebody who's not a Jew, which that's probably the majority of us in the room, okay? Praise God, that changed. We can be saved. Either that or you're just going to bust hell wide open. Right? Okay, so that was a mystery. That was hidden, actually. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, had the powers of this world. That doesn't just refer to people. It's referring to the enemy of our souls. It's referring to the devil himself. It says, had they understood or grasped the plan of God, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because in crucifying Jesus, they actually carried out God's plan. It fooled them, so to speak. Why? Because it was a mystery that was hidden. It was hidden since time began. It's not something that God just laid out and said, oh, by the way, I'm going to send my son. Even though it's in Scripture, we can look back now and see it very, very plainly. Even throughout the Old Testament, you can see it. All right? But at the time, it was something that was hidden. Paul actually relays in multiple places about how this mystery has been entrusted to him to relay this. That's why roughly two-thirds of the New Testament is written by one person, Paul. That was carried out, and other people obviously received it as well and wrote about it and propagated it, and that's why we're in this room today. It's because that mystery was revealed. Just think, now, at the time, you know, death is pretty much the end, right? You don't get recycled. You're not coming back as an ant or a bug. That'd be pretty bad anyway, right? Okay? So you're not getting recycled, so think. The enemy of our souls would think, what, if I can kill this guy, I stop God's plan. If he really is the one, if he really is the Son of God, I kill him, he's done. But it was a mystery, and it was hidden in Christ Jesus, that in killing Jesus, he actually carried out God's plan. Jesus was born to die, and he died for you and for me. That was a mystery that was hidden for us. And then it goes on in that set, the very end of that scripture, don't let anything, there are crazy arguments or there are lofty ideas, which again, this is going to be expounded upon here in a minute. The lofty ideas pull you outside of the fact Jesus is it. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. He is the preeminent. He is supreme in all things. And again, that's the theme that we'll see over and over again. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. It says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. You must continue. One of the most important things that you can learn as a believer is that it's up to you to continue. So many people think, okay, I get born again, I give my life to Jesus, and that's pretty much it. Well, as far as your salvation is concerned, that's true. You're redeemed. Born of the Spirit of God, sins are forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to you growing in Christ and you maturing in Christ, that's completely up to you. You must continue. Again, the theme Pastor John set in motion this summer and is going to continue even into the fall is a summer of spiritual growth. You know whose choice it is to grow or not? It's yours. It's ours. It's mine. I make that decision. That's why Pastor John's talked about all the things he's talked about. in regard to your prayer life and your fellowship with God and all the different things. It's up to me to do that. God can't make you grow. God himself can't make you grow spiritually. Okay, so you must continue. And it says you must continue. Allow your roots to go deep into him so that you'll have a foundation that will stand. The word of God is referred to in the book of Hebrews. It's referred to as an anchor for our souls. So it's an anchor for our life that will help us withstand things that come. How do you know life can walk up and just punch you in the face? Can it? Okay, it can just walk up and smack you. And sometimes it's completely unexpected. It's out of nowhere and you get smacked in the face. It's at those times. How many of you know you need an anchor for your soul? Amen. I need something that I can hold fast to and hold on to. All right. Matthew chapter 7. And this is Jesus speaking. And I put it in a message paraphrase. Matthew chapter 7. And we're just pulling out a couple scriptures from this. Matthew 7, 24 says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental words, are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock." The storm came and nothing moved that house. Why is that? Because it was fixed to the rock. And that's Jesus relaying this basically. If you'll take my word, and if you'll, like it said, and we were exhorted in Colossians there, let your roots go deep into him, deep into the word of God, so you can have a strong foundation. When the storms of life come, you can stand. Your house will stand. You'll stand. You won't crumble in those things. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And isn't that true? Have you ever seen people get punched in the face by life and they just dissolve? Okay, and we've all probably experienced that in different areas of our life where you just takes the wind out of you. All right, have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? Especially if you played sports or something, maybe you think you're dying, right? Because breathing's a good thing. That's what it can feel like when life comes. But here Jesus is telling us, you know, you need to work these words into your life. And you need to have a foundation. You know what most of us do? Most of us try to build a house in a tornado. We wait till we've already been punched. We wait till the storm is swirling around us, and then we decide, you know what, maybe I should take this Bible stuff seriously. Maybe I should read this. Maybe I should do that. My encouragement to you today would be start taking those steps now. Build a foundation now. Jesus wasn't saying wait till the storm hits and then build it. Don't wait till the tornado is swirling around you to try to build something. Start right now, and it's very simple. Pastor John's going through that. So what was the first thing that Pastor John talked to us about when it came to our devotional life, our time with God? What was the number one point? Set an appointment with God. Set a time aside. Set an appointment with God. I really encourage you. And he went on through some other things. He talked about praying. He talked about worship. He talked about you writing those things down. I'm not going to go back through all those in much detail, obviously. And again, you can go back and listen to those messages. But I encourage you, the most important thing you can do is just simply start. Where a lot of people fail is they fail to actually start. Okay? They fail to actually take that step to begin to do it. And it's really easy. It's not hard. Really, really, really encourage you, set that appointment so you can begin to have a time with God. Because you know what? God will show up. You make an appointment, God will show up. He'll begin to show up and your life will be different because the God of the universe will begin to interact with you and you'll be surprised. But most of us, when we do this, and again, we hear things like these, even as Pastor John shares it, you know, he talked about 30 minutes. Okay, for some people, 30 minutes is like, oh gosh, 30 minutes. What am I going to do with God for 30 minutes? It's bad enough having to come to church. Right? Be honest. Okay, and you think, okay, 30 minutes with God. Oh man, that's tough. I don't know if I can make this or not. Isn't that how we do it? We start thinking, that's our picture. Sometimes it's like, oh man. Am I supposed to talk first or you? What's supposed to happen here? Isn't that true? So if 30 minutes feels overwhelming to you, how about five? How about pick one verse? okay? And everybody in here, there's all kinds of personalities in this room, okay? All kinds of different makeups, some things that appeal to you. In fact, some of the things that Pastor John said about how he's incorporated and things he does in his personal time and stuff with God, I don't do it that way. I don't do some of those things the same way. In fact, you know, he has worship as a segment. I have worship through the whole thing. I like worship music a lot. I listen to it all the time, pretty much constantly, okay? So my quiet time's not really quiet most of the time. Now, I have times where it's very quiet. I'll turn the music off, blah, blah, blah. But most of the time, there's music playing. I like it. It actually helps me focus, okay? I'm in high school studying. It's me, Led Zeppelin, and the test stuff. Loud, okay? So I like that, and my wife is not that way. That stuff drives her nuts, okay? She wants it quiet. She can't focus. It distracts her. Probably because she's a music person and she knows me, I'm not, okay? I am, but I'm not on the same level, okay? So, but it helps me, okay? You may be that way, all right? You may not be. But my point to you would be this, is start. Do something. Set an appointment with God. Just simply start. If it's 5 minutes, do 5 minutes. The Bible exhorts us to watch and pray, right? So get your watch out and pray. If you have to set an alarm, 5 minutes. I can make 5 minutes. I know I can make 5 minutes. You can make 5 minutes, okay? Take a scripture. Go through those things and begin to meditate on those things. I really would encourage you to set that appointment. Years ago in Bible school, there was a lady who came in, and she was covering a class for another instructor, and she came and she began to share, and she talked about how she was jealous of how she heard other people talking about their relationship with God. Like, she'd hear people talking, and she'd hear them relaying things about how they interacted with God and the Bible and all this other kind of stuff, and she's kind of half mad about it. Like, you know, that's not me. I'm not experiencing that. She was upset by this. And she said, you know what, I want to change this picture. And so what she did, and I don't remember all the specific details, but I'm pretty sure what she did is she set in a time, and I think it was around lunchtime, and she drove out to, she related as though it was in the middle of a field. There's nobody around, a field out in the middle of nowhere. And she set this appointment with God that every day I'm going to come out here to this field and I'm going to meet with God. And you know what she said? She said God actually kept the appointment. God actually showed up. And it changed her life. I promise you, God will keep the appointment. He keeps his appointments. Always. Always, always, always. You can be different 2 weeks from now. 3 weeks from now, a day from now, you can be different. In fact, you could change it now, actually. Okay, because God is a right now, all the time God. Do you know when it comes to God, you know, if we really believe God's everywhere, you do realize God's everywhere, right? And you realize God actually knows how you talk. You know, he hears you, right? So it's amazing how people will get real religious when it's time to talk to God. Oh, God. And we get all tense and stuff. God hears you every stinking day. Do you think he kind of wonders, who are they talking to? Why are they talking that way? Is something wrong with them? Are they feeling okay? You know, you think God hears you. So the best thing you can do is talk to God is talk to God. How do you talk? How do you talk? Then you talk to God that way. Make an appointment. You show up. I guarantee you God's going to show up. He'll keep that appointment with you. But you've got to let, again, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, you've got to let your roots go deep into him so that when the tornado does come, I'm not trying to scramble to try to build something. I have a foundation. I have an anchor for my soul. And again, Pastor John talked about that a lot. So I really, really encourage you, if you missed that, to go back there and to listen to those messages again. We're going to go on here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That scripture is telling you what we've already said, and that Christ is preeminent. He is supreme in all things. Everything that God is wrapped up in Jesus. That's hard for us to grasp, but it's true. And that's not the only important place in Scripture where that's relayed. All that God is wrapped up in Jesus. And then it says, because you're in him, you are complete in him. What does complete mean? It means you're complete. It means you're lacking nothing. There's nothing lacking when it comes to you being in Christ Jesus. That's why you're exhorted there. Don't let someone deceive you that you have to do more to get something, because everything is already in Christ. You can't earn anything else because it's already been freely given to you. That's crazy if you think about it. Everything you need, in fact, in one place in Scripture, it tells you that everything you need that pertains to life and to godliness is provided in Christ Jesus. It's freely given. It's been freely given to you. All we have to do is just simply find out about it and begin to walk in it. Take the time to begin to meditate in it. Take the time to begin it. You know, one of the things Pastor John talked about also was about writing down what God shows you. I really encourage you to do that. No matter how you may try to do that, whether you literally get yourself a journal or whatever, I've never been a journaler. I've never been able to journal. All right? I just never did it. I've had lots of starts and stops. How many of you ever started projects before? How many of you have home projects right now that have been going on for 17 years? It's always fun. Last night was the same way. When I say that, every wife in the room goes, yep, that's you. That's true, isn't it? We all have things that we start and don't finish. A lot of us can be great starters, and we're not finishing a whole lot, all right? I encourage you, and I've been that way multiple times in journals. Then you go back and find them, you know, on the shelf somewhere, and you start reading it. Like, what in the world was I thinking? Why did I write? Tear that out and shred it, because you don't want anybody to read that stupid stuff you just wrote down, right? You ever done that? I've done it multiple times. But earlier this year, I really wanted to change this about myself, and I really set in motion. I'm gonna journal. I'm gonna begin to journal. And I just got this cheap thing I bought at Walmart or Target. I'm not like Bubba. Bubba's a journaler and a half. He's done that for years and years, and it's awesome. And he's got all kinds of things, and you can get connected with Bubba. He puts things on his websites and blogs and stuff, that things he does, like year-end review stuff. It's awesome. So I'm not making light of that. That's just simply not me, all right? At least I have not made that journey yet. But mine's just a cheap old binder thing I got at Walmart or Target or whatever. It's not a nice leather-looking thing. It's not pretty at all, okay? But you can write on it. And I made a determination, I'm going to write things down. And it's amazing, if you'll start to do that, it's amazing things God will show you. And you can begin to record. You know what? I don't write every day. I don't journal every day. But I do it consistently. And it's fairly consistently that I do it, all right? My objective this year is to do that consistently. I encourage you to write things down. Why? Because I want a foundation and an anchor. I want something that I can hold on to, and it really does help. When it comes to God will share things with you. God will show you things. Scriptures will jump out of you, and you can jot those scriptures down. Encouragement can come to you. I encourage you, really, really, really encourage you to do this. But here it tells you that you are complete in Him. Don't allow things to pull you away. Think you need to do more. You need to do this. If you don't do this, you're not quite enough. All that kind of stuff. Nope, you're complete in Him. The fullness of the Godhead lives and dwells in Christ, which is nuts if you think about it. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. But the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ, and you are complete in Him. You are lacking absolutely nothing in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing truth. Let me read this to you from the Message paraphrase. It says, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas and superstition, their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him, so you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. His power extends over everything. When you come to Him, that fullness comes to you. And again, that's from the Message. It's a paraphrase. The Message paraphrase came out of a minister that began to realize that his church, the church people he was speaking to, were really struggling to grasp really what some of the scriptures were relaying to him. So he actually began to paraphrase and translate those things to him. And he's got all the right initials after his name. So he began to do all that stuff, and he was able to do that. And as a result, through the process of years, Message Bible, that's where it came from. And so it's a good reading Bible. It's not a study Bible, but it's a reading Bible. That's something that can be very beneficial to you. So again, you're not going to study for it. Like if you're trying to study particular topics or things like this, because again, the way it's laid out, most of them, when they're done, they don't even have verses in there. You know what? When the Bible is written, you know when you write a letter, do you put chapters and verses in there? Do you know the Bible didn't have them either? That's only for our reference. Did you know that? So the verses and the chapters, we put those in there so that we can find them. Colossians chapter 2, so you can find it. So we're not saying, okay, let's read Colossians, and you have to go, okay, where are they? Go down about 3/4 of the way on the page, that's it. That's what the verses are for. But they help us find those things. And so the message, a lot of times when you buy that, it's not going to have those in it. It may have some of the headings and things. It just depends on which one you purchase. But anyway, it's a great reading Bible. All right, we're going to go on here, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read 11 through 19, which I know that's a big section of scripture here, so I encourage you. We're going to wrap it up here after this. So I'm going to encourage you, stay with this, all right? You're going to see the slides go behind me, but I wanted to give you this, and I put it up there in the message as well, which makes it a little bit longer because it is a paraphrase. Okay, but I want you to see this context of what's Paul telling us. By the Spirit of God here, Jesus is supreme over everything. Don't let other things pull you away. And you're going to see that relate very clearly in this section of Scripture. So again, either follow along if you've got a Bible or got something there at your seat, or you look at the screen here and follow along with me, all right? Colossians 2, verse 11 through 19. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's a matter of being circumcised, or it's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already done or gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant concealed and nailed to a cross, Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet, worship services, or holy days. All those things were mere shadows cast before what was to come. The substance, or the real part, is Christ. Don't tolerate people who try to run your life, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join in their obsession with angels and that you seek out visions. They're a lot of hot air, that's all they are. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one place, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head, we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as he nourishes us. And that section of scripture, once again, even just reiterates the same thing. Jesus is supreme over all things. All that God is wrapped up in him. Even when you were incapable of responding to God, when it talked about there that you were dead, you were lost. Another section of scripture over in the book of Ephesians says that while you were yet dead in your sins, Christ died for us, all right? You were no interest of God whatsoever. You didn't care about God. Jesus still died for you. Before you were born, obviously, he died for you. And he purchased us his desire was for us to experience all that he is. And it's so important you understand that when we connected him and we're a part of him, all that God is now connected to us, all that he is. He's supreme in everything. And that's why it goes in multiple places there that we just read, how it talks about don't let people pull you. Don't let people tell you, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to do these things. Nope, you are complete in Christ Jesus. All that you need is wrapped up in him. That's an amazing thing if you think about it. All right, Colossians chapter 2, the last couple of verses we're going to look at here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. And we're going to talk about a couple other things here, but we're going to wrap it up here in just a minute. And before we read that, though, you know, in that passage of Scripture, I encourage you to do something. In this passage of Scripture, in Colossians, the book of Colossians, but then the books that are around it, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they're a great place to start to find out about all the things that Jesus did for us, about how Christ is supreme, how we are complete in him. And sometimes people struggle on where to start reading their Bible, and there's lots of resources that can help you. But if you want just simply to do it on your own and not have to go purchase something or whatever, Again, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they're short books, six chapters in a couple of them and four chapters of them. They're very easy to read, all right? And I encourage you, that's a great place to start, but there's phrases in there that talk about Jesus, and you'll see phrases that talk about in him or through him or because of Christ or because of Jesus, many different variations there, and depending upon the translation, it'll be in different ways. But if you were to take the time and either underline those or circle those or highlight those, depending upon how you're reading it, it's amazing all the things that Jesus did for us. And it's a great thing because you can go through there and you'll see all kinds of stuff about what he did for you. And again, that's a great place in the New Testament. Again, people struggle sometimes. Man, where should I read or what scripture should I be reading? Those are great ones. They're easy to remember. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. A long time ago, somebody shared this with me when you're trying to learn some of the stuff. And they phrased it this way, General Electric Power Company. That's been stuck in my head ever since. And now I've corrupted you with it because it'll probably be stuck in yours, all right? But General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It just helped me find them and always know where they're at. But if you want to know the New Testament, it's a great place to read. You want to know more about Jesus and the life of Jesus, a great gospel to start is the Gospel of John. You want to read some out of the Old Testament, there's multiple Old Testament books that would be great, but Psalms and Proverbs are always very easy and very good ones, good places to start. All right, don't go to the book of Leviticus. It's going to really confuse you, all right? And if you don't know much about the book of Leviticus, just go read a few chapters. You'll understand what I'm saying, okay? About how you're supposed to bring this blood offering and shake this and wave this and do this and don't do that and all this other kind of stuff. And overall, the theme of Leviticus is God's holy and you're not. It's very simple, but that is the theme. The theme of Leviticus, God's holy, you're not, you need a Savior. That's basically Leviticus. You can't save yourself. All right? Because, all right, you got to bring all these doves, pigeons, goats, all kinds of stuff. You got to do all kinds of stuff. You know what? And you're still not holy. It's just covering it. Didn't make it go away. That's why the book of Hebrews says all those things were just a shadow because they couldn't cleanse a person's conscience. They couldn't make it away. You know, when you get born again, you become a child of God. Did you know your sin is not covered? It's removed. The Bible in the New Testament says, you are a new creation, a new creature, something that never existed before. You become completely new. You're not covered. God just doesn't choose to ignore those things. They're completely removed. Isn't that awesome if you think about it? That's all about the supremacy of Christ. That's why by the Spirit of God, Paul's saying, man, don't let people drag you into all this other kind of stuff. Don't let people pull you and say, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you've got to, oh man, you've got to make yourself suffer and you've got to do these things. And that's what he talks about here in the very last couple of verses we'll read here. Colossians 2, 20 through 23. It says, if you have died with Christ to the world's way of doing things, why do you let others tell you how to live? It's as though you were still under the world's influence. People will tell you, don't handle this, don't taste or touch that. All these things deal with objects that are only used up anyway. These things look like wisdom with their self-imposed worship, false humility, and harsh treatment of the body, but they have no value for holding back the constant desires of your corrupt nature. See, part of the deception that comes sometimes is that we think that if I just simply will do more, you know, and how many of you have made promises to God? We all have. How many of you kept them? Most of us didn't, right? Isn't it good that God actually knows us? Or he'd have just fried all of us. Now think about that for a second. That's why the work of redemption and the supremacy of Christ and him being preeminent in all things is so important to you and me because you can't keep them. Again, go back to the Old Testament. That's it. If you get in just to summarize a very simplistic theme is this right here. You can't do this. It's impossible for you to do this. So you need a Savior. So I'm sending my son Jesus. He's born of a virgin so he can be a sinless, spotless sacrifice. He dies on the cross for me and I'm redeemed, which makes me not have to do all that stuff because I couldn't do it anyway. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do you know what? That's a simple plan of salvation right there. You couldn't do it. Jesus did it for you. And now I give it to you. That's crazy. It's crazy good, isn't it? Because I don't have to do anything for it. That's why he tells you again in Colossians there, you are complete in him, lacking nothing, because you couldn't do this stuff anyway. You couldn't keep these things anyway. You couldn't keep all those different things. A lot of the things that relate in the Old Testament were to illustrate that to us so that we could see, I can't do those. It's impossible. Do you know how many Christians feel that way even today? They feel like, oh man, this is so hard. I can't do this. The good news of the gospel is that he actually comes to live in your heart and empowers you to do it. Empowers you to live a righteous, set-apart life. He empowers you to live pleasing before him. He empowers you to do that. It all flows from him. You can't do it on your own. So don't let people pull you into, oh man, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You've got to do these things. And that's what Paul, by the Spirit of God, is telling us here in Colossians chapter 2. 1 and 2, but especially in chapter 2. You don't need to do all these things. You know why? Jesus Christ did it for you. And if you'll go down deep into him, let your roots go down into him, that's when it transitions here into chapter 3, and it goes into basically us applying it into our lives, which Pastor John, again, is going to talk about next week, Colossians 3 and 4. Because it goes on and it says, seeing these things, in other words, knowing that, this is my paraphrase, knowing that all these things are true, all these things I just got through talking about are true. Set your affections on things that are above. In other words, set your mind on things that are above. Set your mind on Christ. And now by doing that, you know what it's going to do? It's going to allow you to put off the old man and to put on the new. It's going to allow you to no longer allow anger and bitterness and unforgiveness to rule your life. You know why? Because Christ is supreme and you're complete in him. So set your affections on things that are above. And that's what he goes on through there in Colossians chapter 3 and Colossians 4 and talks about that. So that's coming next week. I can't go too much further. I'll preach Pastor John's message. I mean, mine would be better anyway, but we'll let him give it a shot next week. All right? But that's what it's about. So the first two chapters of Colossians, what are they telling you? They're telling you Jesus is all you need. Jesus is supreme over all things. Don't let people pull you. Don't let religious thinking tell you you've got to do more. You've got to sacrifice more. You've got to do things. It talked about there about people that will tell you, have you ever run into religious people, like religious people? And they'll begin to tell you the things that they do. Oh man, brother, I do this and I do that. That's what Paul's talking about by the Spirit of God there at the end of Colossians, where he's talking about, you know what, it's a false humility. It's actually pride. I do this and I do that. Makes you feel this bit. Well, man, I don't do all that. I don't do those things. Praise God, Jesus is supreme in all things. Praise God, I'm sufficient because I'm in Christ Jesus. And he makes me complete. I'm the beloved in Christ Jesus. He seated me in heavenly places in Christ. God himself did that. That's who I am in Christ. That's where, again, I encourage you to go back through there, get a Bible out, and begin to mark all those things about who you are in Christ. There's actually even a small little book in the bookstores called In Him. And I think there's even some pamphlets out there that are free that have In Him realities on them and stuff. You can go grab those at the bookstore on your way out today. And there's countless scriptures on there. You can grab it. It'll change your life. Set an appointment with God. Just simply pick a couple of those scriptures, one of those scriptures. Because you know what? One word from God will change your life. You let God show up, which he will, it'll change your life. You won't be the same. And it's not hard. Don't make it hard. Don't fall into the trap that Paul's talking about, again, by the Holy Spirit. You know, the book of Colossians was written to you. Do you know that? That's why it's in the Bible. It was written to you. It's for you and for me today. The Bible is relayed as though the Word of God is alive. Did you know what? The Bible's alive. Isn't it good the Bible's alive? And it's alive for me, and it's alive for you. And one word out of this book, one word will change your life. Now, this is probably one of the oldest Bibles I have. It's probably been one of my favorite Bibles. I've scotch taped all kinds of pages back into this thing. But you know what? You can get your Bible out. Wonder what that sticky note's for. Anyway, I got a sticky note in there for something. I'll have to go back and read that. But I put all kinds of notes and different things in there. But you can get it out. And I know you can do this electronically today. You can do it on your phone. You can do all kinds of stuff. But this word is alive. That's written for you. Colossians wasn't just written to the church in Colossae, that town. All right? Wasn't just written for them. That was written for you today, right now, today. And you know what? If you get in there, you set that appointment with God, God will actually show you something from the book of Colossians that was written a long time ago. God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to share things with you because he always, always, always keeps his appointments. So what are we going to remember today? We're going to remember all that's simply being relayed to me in Colossians chapter 2, for the most part, is what? Jesus is supreme in all things, and I'm complete in him. Yes. And again, Pastor John's going to pick up next week about how that translates into you living it. How does that translate? How do all these things translate into me living it on a daily basis? All right, let me pray for you. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the precious promises of your word. Father, I pray for every person in this room today. I thank you that you keep appointments. Every person in this room, as they keep appointments with you and they set appointments with you, Father, I thank you that you show up without exception. This time in their lives, Father, they will never be the same. As they take those steps, they will never be the same. You will show up and speak to them in a very real, in a very plain way. You reveal yourself to them in a very real, in a very plain way. Father, I thank you that you'll speak to them each and every day. You'll show them things. You'll reveal your word, your love, your compassion for them. You'll reinforce the truth of your word to them, that they'll have a foundation that goes deep into Christ, that when the storms of life come, their house stands in Jesus' name. Every person in this room, their house stands in the name of Jesus. When the storms rise and the storms come, they're not trying to build a house in a tornado, Lord God. They have a foundation, an anchor for their souls. I thank you for speaking and revealing yourself to each person in this room. Thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're in this room, you've heard me talk about Jesus, you've heard me talk about the supremacy of Christ, and you'd say, you know what? I don't know that I've ever really made Jesus supreme in my life. I don't know that I've ever really made that decision. And that is a decision that you make. No one makes that decision for you. It's not because you were born into a good family or a Christian family. That's something each one of us personally has to do. And maybe you're in this room and you say, you know what? I don't know that I've ever really made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never really asked him to come over and to take ownership of my life. I've never asked him to be supreme in my life. If that's you today, I encourage you. It's a very simple thing. It's a very simple process. Basically, it entails you just simply asking and receiving him. That's it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come forward. We're going to pray. In fact, we're all going to pray out loud together with you right there at your chair. So if you're in this room, or maybe even watching online, if you're participating online, and this is you, you don't know that you've ever participated or never allowed Jesus to be supreme in your life, please don't leave this service. Please don't leave without knowing, because again, it's very easy. Jesus wants to come into your life, and you will never be the same after this moment. So if that's you, and you're in the room, you'll say, man, Pastor Steve, I want that. I want to know that. I want to have that assurance before I go today. All I'm going to do is just simply ask you to raise your hand in just a moment right here. Between you and God, you're going to acknowledge that before God, and we're going to pray for you right where you're seated, all right? So if that's you, very quickly, raise your hand right there at your chair. Raise it up high. Thank you so much. I see some hands, a number of hands. Just keep them up just for a second. Yep, I see way at the top up there, number of different hands. Again, sometimes it's a little hard to see, but just you can raise it up and put it down. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Anybody else? Go ahead and raise it. Last time. I'm not going to drag it out. Thank you so much over here. Right over here, I see you. Thank you so much. I'm not going to drag it out. I'm going to look one more time. And then we're going to pray. Anybody else want to be included in that prayer? Thank you so much. We're going to pray for you, all right? Let's all repeat this prayer out loud together with them. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And I thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I open up my life, the door of my heart, and I invite you in. Thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me of all my sin. Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Savior and as my Lord. I submit my life to you, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for praying with us. That is the absolute best decision you've ever made in your life. And whether you're in this room or you're online, you can interact with us, and I encourage you. That is the absolute best decision you've ever made in your life. Please continue on. Again, we read the scripture there out of Colossians about you must continue, you must continue. Kelly will give you some things you can do.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.